Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. Love Sport.
You are listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, the knowledge, Brendan Pitcher, the guest, Julian Fern, and the true, Rob Edwards. I must admit, me and Rob didn't quite get the memo of green jumpers. We thought it was next week. It was clearly this week. Julian and Brendan
festive
have gone for
green
it.
Jumper.
What happened? We missed it there, Rob.
I'm out the loop massively.
We're out the loop. Yeah, I think they have their own private group, just Brendan, Adam and Julian. We're clearly not part of it, but it is. We are part of this packed show tonight. We're going to be talking about the Oldham game 1-1. Julian was there, of course. What did he make of his Oldham trip? Then a brilliant guest. I'm delighted to say we finally got our man, Dave Victor, will be joining us. You know, he's the man I get to listen to, put all those questions to Ross after the game and those post-match conferences. Great to hear what his thoughts on the O season so far. We're going to be looking at the future fixtures, Ross's future, you know, by Julian's standards, the 10 games. He's only got 6 games to go. It's almost like an advent calendar countdown. We keep opening the games. How are they going? It's Bradford on the weekend. We're going to be looking at that game as well. Bradford high-flying in League 2 themselves this year. We'll be doing, obviously, looking at how Leighton Orient women are getting on, and we can do a little bit of housekeeping there, but we always start as we do at the top. But you can have your say tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558 and you can join the show. Put a question to the team, have your O say. It was Oldham, it was 1-1. Julian, you was there. I tried to warn you, I tried to get you not to go. You did go. How was it?
I did listen back. I didn't realize how much you tried to tell me.
I really
to go.
Tried. See, thank you. I am a friend. See,
all I can say, I've been following the O's for a number of years now, and it's the first game I fell asleep in. So, I had to, my better half sort of give me a little bit of nudge, you know. First half going down so quickly, the game itself was terrible. Even Ross's interview, turned around and went, yeah, sorry, this was a bit poor in relation to where we wanted to be. We were on the front foot at times. I think we did all right. There was parts of the game where you went, yeah, I can see where we're trying to achieve and how we push in, and the strikers were looking quite having an impact on the game. But we just made silly mistakes. One thing I really enjoyed, and the guys, I don't know if you watched it or saw the highlights, is definitely Turley is making a big difference at the back. He is galvanised that back four. Mr. Reliable, like Josh Coulson was last year. He played well alongside Dan, although Dan looked a bit sort of sluggish at times. I'm not sure why. I think they sort of the left and right back Joe had a indifferent game. Again, he was captain for the day, and I think that may sort of played on his mind a little bit. Sam was okay, and then we went down, and we didn't look like we was going to concede too many more after that. It was a silly mistake, and they got on top. The venue, I thought the ground was different. I've never been
there. How were the burgers?
I didn't have burgers.
Vegetarian burgers?
No, they smell awful on the way up. So I waited to go to Chinese in Manchester afterwards. But generally, I thought it was just a dire. Expected what you explained to me the week before, that the environment, the atmosphere, the game was spot on how you described it, and I won't be doing it again next year.
Right, well, Julian's out for next trip. Maybe Brendan or Rob will be taking up the mantle. Brendan, obviously, Ross said it was a really poor performance, one of the poorest games of football he's seen on the weekend, but he also described the players as a little bit leggy. Now, last week, you two done a brilliant commentary of the game against Bristol Rovers. Unfortunately, after we spoke, Orient lost that game on pens, but you were really impressed with that performance, and Ross said, when we had him in the studio, he said, you know, he learnt from his second stint, you know, he was changing things up afterwards every game about the other team played. Well, this time he'd done the opposite. He saw how they played in a week, and he kind of kept kept with that side. And now he said they was a little bit leggy, so we still got to learn from that as well, Brendan.
Yeah, I think the team selection going into the game was probably the most interesting part of the team, because it almost felt like for the first time Ross Embleton's picking his own Orient team here. It wasn't just he's in a caretaker role, he's just looking at everything. He was picking players where, like Hector Kyprianou making his first league start, that's really promising. He looks a tidy player, I think. Like Ross said in his interview, needs to bulk out a little bit more, but if he can do that, he looks a real talent.
And people give him a couple of weekends with me, I'll bulk him out.
He also had Sam Sargent and, like Julian said, Jamie Turley playing instead of people like Dean Brill and Josh Coulson, who are real like staples of last season's side but haven't really been up to league football maybe this year, you'd argue. So that was probably the most interesting thing for me. I can see why he kept the same team from Wednesday, because they did play well and they probably earned his trust. And I think he's got kind of a policy going now where if you perform, then I'll keep you in the team, basically.
Mm. But that's what he said in his interview, wasn't he? He said to the players.
Yeah, obviously they're going to look a little bit leggy now because they played against a good side on Wednesday night with only 2 days preparation, 2 away trips as well. They wouldn't have been home much. So it's understandable. But hopefully with a whole week's training now, I'd probably argue don't make wholesale changes again. I'd probably argue keep as close to this team as you can for this game as well on Saturday, looking ahead to it.
Yeah, obviously it is a big one. It is against Bradford. It will be a tough game. But Rob, what did you make of the game against Oldham? Because not only, obviously, Ross was saying, you know, poor performance, you know, one of the worst games of football he's ever seen, he said afterwards. But a lot of the Oldham fans, I checked social media after, they was really saying that they thought they were unlucky. They dominated in patches. They had a lot of chances. And another thing that seemed to be a big theme from the Oldham fans, and not obviously, Julian, you was at the game, but Rob, I wanted to see what you thought. They were saying that the ref played a big part as well when he was useless, but they almost felt like he was on Orient's side a little bit.
I'm not sure about that. The game was absolutely dreadful. I think that the least said about it the better. But I mean, two teams sort of languishing down in the doldrums, not in great form. I think a draw probably both would have taken, and it's probably, I think, what was deserved. I don't think Oldham deserved to win. Early goal caught us off guard, shouldn't have happened. We responded
came
well.
Came from an Orient mistake.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like us, is it?
No, we're normally very, very solid. I think the two main positives are, I think there's 4 homegrown players in the first 11, which is probably the first time for probably since the League 2 season when we went down and no one else wanted to play, which was promising. And they're all obviously people that are going to be around hopefully for quite a long time and going to continue improving. And the fact we've come from behind in the last 2 games and played better once we've gone behind, I think there's times this season and maybe not the last season of the National League, but the season before, we would go 1-0 down and struggle to get back in it. But kind of felt confident the last few games that they would get something in it. And then they did.
One thing for me, just capitalising on that, definitely didn't feel we was going to lose that game on Saturday, although it was quite dismal to watch.
They had chances though, Julian.
Who, them? To
Oldham?
Yeah, so did we though. So listen, you've got to go in, you've got to go between the posts, isn't it? So you hit the post, it's still not a goal, is it? So
No. We and you, we're watching a different game.
That's why you don't get the text message about what we're going to wear. No, but generally, I thought it was an equal. We wasn't going to win that game. There's no way we deserved to win that game, but we didn't deserve to lose the game.
Yeah.
And I think the same for Oldham as well. I think we were both pretty dire teams on the day. We going back to what you were saying about Garstad having young homegrown players in there, although we looked, or Rossi, we looked a little bit leggy at times, but at times we looked quite nimble, quite quick, moving the ball around, and felt that Oldham were chasing us because they've got some old season pros in there who have been around the block a few times, and they were getting leggy in the second half as well. So I just think it equaled itself out. For me, we'd have gone in there and lost, it would have been a travesty, because there's no way we should have lost against those being as poor as we are. I think, again, from Ross's decision, I think it was all over social media, especially with the two changes with Turley and Sarge. I'm still in two minds whether Sarge is the right man to take us forward, whether we put Dino back in the Saturday, that experience. But I do think we need to keep Turley in that side. Turley made a big difference for me. He looked fairly lively, very much in control. He got to everything. He was doing what Corks did last year. He got to every ball what they were shooting. He was there. When it come near him, he was making sure he was getting rid of it or doing the right thing. So that's definitely someone who should be in the side again Saturday.
Yeah, and someone that was really the forefront of Dave's question, who we're going to get on the show. Ross really mentioned him after the game, saying the difference he made. And probably out of fear of repeating myself, I've definitely asked you this before, but when you are so poor by the manager's standards and by you who watch the game, you the Orient fans, when you were so poor, what do you take from it? Do you look at it and go, oh, you know, we need to get better, you know, the golfing class in League Two, there's still so many areas we need to work on? Or you do go, we were poor, and yet, oh yes, Oldham down there, but it's another point, and it's points that matters. Or is it a little bit of the combination of both?
Yeah, putting it into context a bit, I think you look at Oldham's last league result before that was beating Newport 1-0 away from home, which is a pretty good result.
Great result,
yeah. Yeah, it looks like they're kind of on the up again with Dino Marmaria at the helm. Two away trips in, what, 3-4 days? It's going to take your legs out of you. I think you take the point. We probably weren't the better side. I think in context, you've got to be happy with a point, really, for me. I wasn't particularly upset with a 1-0.
Yeah, great. I totally agree. And one thing I want to sort of mention, I think we took a good following out there again as fans. So again, there's belief still in the Orient faithful, as Mr. Victor says, you know, and was a good turnout. And I think, again, that will continue. I think there's a lot of people supporting the opportunity, Ross taking the role full time to the end of the season. But for me, we just need to make a decision, whatever it may be, just make it and go forward. Because I think in January, there's going to have to be some changes. There's rumours already around the campus at certain positions where we're looking for certain players to come in and replace the old guard. Do it. Yeah, don't sit there and don't wait till the end of January and go, yeah, we didn't get that done. So let's push on with the same people who were struggling at the moment. You're right. I think we are, those little steps make a big, big, big impact. We've got to wait to, for me, is to start to win and control games for majority of it. I know we don't expect to control a game for a whole 90 minutes in this league, but we need to start to control the games. And those start at home. And I think, unfortunately, Bradford on Saturday is going to be a tougher ask than we probably expect at the moment, because I don't think they're flying, but reality is...
They've had a little slump, haven't they?
But they're on the descendancy through the league at the moment to the League Two, but they've been doing, as an overall
club.
They're a big club in the Football League. So for me, I think we need to get a result Saturday, and that result again is a draw, if that is the worst case scenario. But we need to build upon it, and I think Ross has got the mentality to do that, and I think he's shown that, and when he was in the studio as well, and Harry came across. But we've got to keep momentum going forward, consistency, and I said that earlier. It's consistency around him, and then what he's trying to put across to those players.
Well, Rob, two questions really. The question we did ask: A, were you happy with a point, and is a point good enough? And B, how do you, is it possible to keep the momentum that Julian's on about when, you know, you have got a manager who is only labelled as interim and the players like, because it's hard to, you know, sort of really go for it, go buy into the vision when you don't know if Ross will be there in the next few games, say?
I think definitely when you play badly, anything is welcome. So I think you definitely can't knock the point away from home. I definitely would have taken it before the game. I'm sure the manager would as well, if he was honest. I think in terms of momentum, I mean, it's not as if Ross hasn't done the job before. It's not as if they don't know what he wants them to do, or they don't know what he's about. I don't think there's going to be any issue with momentum. He's worked with them for a long time as coach assistant, works with them every day on the training ground. It's not like he's just been thrown in for a few games. He's been around for a long time, and I think he follows the values of Justin and what he instilled in the team. I think he does have an influence on the team. So I don't see any reason other than them just playing for him, whoever it may be on the pitch on that day. I think they'll all play for him.
I think whether Ross is interim or coach or what have you, I think he's got the respect of the player. So I think it doesn't matter. I don't think that's one of those things that's probably...
They're sort of unfazed by it a little bit.
Yeah, because I think they experienced what happened a few weeks ago with Carl, and they've gone, we don't want that again. So we either got to back our ideas up and start playing for Ross and start getting some results, and that's what they're paid to do. Or alternatively, they know Ross is going to have their back, and I think he had their back over that 29-day period anyway, so they're on his side. But that's then when you get the the players that sort of get a little bit comfortable with that. And we don't want that in the club because we're still fighting, you know. And everyone goes, oh, you know what, you've got no chance of going down because of how... No, that's a load of rubbish, you know. If form just keeps dipping, you have a big chance of going down. So we need to make sure, protect ourselves for that, you know, get ourselves above mid-table, get ourselves in a position where we're happy, and then we take the pressure off, then hopefully we'll start playing some good football again.
Hopefully start playing some good football again. I know someone who will be hoping for that as well is Dave Victor, who's at every game and he gets to talk to Ross at every game, and he is joining us next.
Love Sport.
Listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, the knowledge, Brendan Pitcher, the guest, Julian Fern, and the true knowledge, Rob Edwards. It's just a personal joke for me and Rob. No one else laughed, but Rob, we know you are the true knowledge. Hey, you two with the green jumpers over there, don't you start bullying people. You can have your say tonight. You can tweet us at Love Sport Radio or you can call us 0208 7020 558. We were just talking about the Oldham game there, 1-1. Was a point good enough? Maybe it was when it was a poor game. Even Ross saying after one of the worst games he has seen. We're going to be talking about the future fixtures and look towards Bradford on the weekend, but I did promise you a brilliant guest and he is with us now, Dave Victor. Dave, thank you so much for joining us tonight and giving us a little bit of your time. We've really tried to get you on since we started, really. Just I get to listen to you, I get to hear you after every match talking to Ross, and your questions that you ask to Ross, then I just copy them and put them to the team, basically, Dave. So you're my source of all knowledge. But what are you making of Orient so far this year in League Two?
It was always going to be tough after what was a tragic summer. I mean, Justin Edinburgh, I think it's fair to say, was more than a manager. He was an inspiration. And in my opinion, the promotion that he achieved against the odds was probably the most important promotion in the club's history, because it is so important that Leighton Orient are back in the Football League. This weekend's going to be another emotional one because Justin would have been 50, and I know that... his son Charlie and his family have arranged something very special. But after that, it was always going to be tough. And of course, not only had Leighton Orient lost their manager, without three very important players from last season, in my opinion, the most significant one is Joby McEnough. He was the leader on the pitch, and we had a look at last season. There was a dip mid-season, and that coincided with Joby McEnough's injury. He was somebody that ensured that everybody stayed on top of their game. He knew when to sort of shout at players and when to encourage them. He was particularly of value to the younger players. So it's been very tough.
It has been tough, Dave. It's been extremely tough. And, you know, obviously a run of results at the minute that hasn't gone their way. And obviously the sacking of Cole Fletcher, 29 days. Ross back in his third stint. It's always going to be tough the year, you know, whoever it was. And, you know, you've seen these when these transitional periods happen at clubs, especially when it's unforeseen circumstances with the tragic passing of Justin. It was always going to be a difficult year. They've had to deal with life in League Two and this. No one can really understand the depths of how easy or how difficult this is, can they, Dave?
No, I think the club still hurts. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the best performance and the best results have come on the road, because it is so much harder, I would imagine, for those players to perform in E10 at Brisbane Road, simply because there will be so many more reminders of Justin Edinburgh. And he was so important to the club. There's this sort of... People talk about a good fit. I think Martin Ling talks about a good fit. But there was a supporter that said that Justin got us and we got him. And it felt that it was just the start. And it must be so difficult for those players. We know how vulnerable psychologically players are in terms of all their superstitions. And Justin would have been inside their heads. And it's going to be interesting on Saturday. There'll be a big crowd, and often Leighton Orient are at their best against some of the better teams, and I think Bradford City will come and try and play football. That might help the O's, and I think there is some encouragement from the last two performances, not least the fact that we've got Jamie Turley back in the side, and you know, he's been out for so long, we forgot how good he is, especially in the centre of the defence. He's got that little bit more pace, which Leighton Orient have lacked in the earlier stages of this campaign. And also, we signed two very good players in the summer in Leanne Goal, who held up the ball so well at Oldham on Saturday, and Connor Wilkinson. We haven't seen them together enough this season. They need to bed down, but I think they are potentially a very, very exciting duo.
Obviously, you see Ross in all his interviews. He comes across as a down-to-earth person, knowledgeable, and you can tell the players really support him, and fans just warm to him off the back of them. Do you think he's the right man for the job long-term?
I don't know is the answer to that question. I think it was an impossible task to follow Justin, and I think, you know, full credit to Ross that he's just stepped up, and it shows his commitment to the club that he was prepared to do it. And of course he would say that he wouldn't want the job, because nobody would have wanted the job under those circumstances. I think you could understand why, as the club has said, that Carl Fletcher ticked a few boxes. I think thought at the time it was a bold and potentially an exciting decision. I think if you look at League Two, loan players make a huge difference. No doubt on Saturday that the best player for Oldham Athletic was their winger, and he's on loan from Bristol City. You could see why having a loan manager and somebody that understands the loan market would be so attractive. You could also see, it doesn't feel that long ago, that we were playing AFC Bournemouth in the same division at Brisbane Road. And, you know, in terms of coaching, Eddie Howe has to be right up there in terms of what he's achieved. And if he's saying that Carl Fletcher is a good coach, then you can understand why the club made the decision that they did. Charlie Edinburgh has said that it's not impossible to follow his dad, but it is very, very difficult. I think it might be slightly easier now for Ross to follow Carl Fletcher rather than Justin. And I do get the sense, when I've spoken to Ross since Carl's departure, he seems to be more confident. He's certainly making some big decisions, and he's got some big decisions to make on Saturday, because there'll be some players who were last season regulars and expected to be in the starting 11. I don't think that is the case now.
And looking back at your own career, you're kind of almost the voice of Orient to a lot of people, I think, and you've been interviewing people for years now, I think. What are some of your highlights in terms of people to speak to and managers? Who were kind of the best people you've dealt with at Orient?
Well, I'm a very lucky man. I mean, it is a pleasure and a privilege. I was a supporter first back in the 70s, and then started with Whitscross Hospital Radio, and I still help out with Johnny Walker and Bill Badger, who do a great job there. And I was invited to do the Orient Club Call when it started back in the day. And Frank Clark was the manager then. And, you know, over the years, I think one of the things that is definitely the case is that the supporters often criticise some of the most successful managers. There must have been some young supporters who back in the 80s must have thought that Clark's name was Clark out, because that's even before the kick-off sometimes that was a shout. But that was the season that Leighton Orient went up. They were terrible before Christmas, very lowly in the table, and then really took off. I think you could say possibly the same about Martin Ling, who was, of course, an interim manager for a long time. And, you know, some people were very concerned and surprised about that appointment, but it proved to be a very successful one. I remember the criticism that Russell Slade had when he first took charge, and I think it was very much against the odds at one point that Barry Hearn stayed with Russell Slade, and as a result, Leighton Orient came very close. I've worked with some really interesting fellas. I think the person that would stand out most, and the evening that I will never forget, is you might have seen the documentary Club for a Fiver, and I can remember standing outside the dressing room after Terry Howard, as it turned out, you know, we've seen on the documentary now, got dismissed at half time. You know, he was a big player, and you could just tell that something big had happened, and I stayed up till quite late, waiting to speak to John Sitton to try and find out what had happened. And this was for Club Call. And I can remember phoning up, must have been sort of 12, probably after 12 o'clock, to say, look, I've got this interview with John Sitton. I think this is what's happened. But do you want to put it on the official Club Call line? And, you know, these are strange days. These are strange you know, it's a wonderful club. It is a family club, and it has really hurt this year. And again, one of the managers that I will never forget, and it's always been a pleasure and privilege to work with him, was Justin Edinburgh. You had to give him an hour or so if Leighton Orient had lost, but he was a funny man. You could see why he was a natural leader, because he had so much integrity. He is such a difficult man to follow. But what this season is about, for me personally, is about gratitude. I am so grateful for Justin, for getting Leighton Orient back in the Football League. I'm so grateful to each and every one of those players who achieved that promotion. And when you look at the National League, you look at the plight of the likes of Chesterfield, who have had two very experienced managers since their relegation. There's clearly no automatic formula. Look at the problems that Wrexham are currently facing and how difficult it is, likes of Notts County and Hartlepool, to get back into the Football League. We have come a long way very quickly. We are 4 points behind Salford City. We got some really good young players. I'm really impressed by young Hector. I think that Joe Widdowson has stepped up in terms of the higher standards. So too has Sam Ling. I'm very impressed with Josh Wright since his signing. I think there are some players who are definitely good enough to play in the league. I just wonder if mentally they're focused enough. And there's some players who are very, very inconsistent. But I think there is a platform to build on. And this season is by no means over. It's going to be a very interesting Christmas period. And I'm looking forward to Saturday and the visit to Bradford City.
Dave, just probably the last one from us here. You've probably seen on Twitter the sort of the team of the decade or the worst team of the decade, picking out players and people voting on that. For me, I think you've had some fun over the last 10 years and probably over the latter sort of 5 years. What's been the weirdest post-match interview you've had to experience in the last decade?
Well, I already mentioned that one with John Sitton. I think you have to also think about what happened under the former regime. I definitely am not going to say anybody's names, but, you know, poor Andy.
Legal reasons here, Dave.
Being kicked. And, you know, there were some really, really strange interviews. I remember with Fabio Liverani in the car park at Peterborough, me and George Sessions trying to get a word out of the fellow, that all he wanted to do was get away from the football ground as quickly as he possibly could, even though he was gridlocked in traffic. There was no way that he could move anywhere. But it was like somebody trying to get an interview from Boris Johnson, to be perfectly honest. We stood no chance whatsoever. We have gone from a club that didn't want to communicate to one that is very transparent and is so open and wants to communicate with the players and with the supporters. And I think, again, it is a reflection of how the club has transformed since the 22nd of June 2017. And again, thanks to Nigel and Kent and to Matt and all those people who have worked so hard, the leadership that we've had from Martin Ling. I know he's had some criticism recently, but if you look at the quality of the players that he signed in July that year, it's quite remarkable where Leighton Orient are. I think it's very easy to be critical, and it's very easy to look at the league table and be concerned, and I am. I mean, I wouldn't take anything for granted. I've supported the Orient long enough to know that you can be hopeful but never optimistic. But it does feel as if the club is in the right direction. It's gone through something that no other club has, and you wouldn't want to wish it on any other club. But I think that if the values are right, and they are, I think if people are dedicated and working very hard, and Ross and the team clearly are, and there is a platform, and I think the transfer window that's coming up is going to be an important one. The transfer window next summer will be even more important.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Dave, thank you so much for joining us. Just brilliant to listen to you in the studio. Just such an insight into your work with the club, not just this season, but for your whole history with the club. Dave, really appreciate you coming on. We know you're a busy man. Dave Victor there, just covering your team for years, you know. You mentioned it there, all these memories, all these anecdotes. But like you said, Brendan, the voice of the club, really.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Growing up in Cornwall, it was like a lot of my experiences from Orient were listening to him on the Orient Player, the Orient TV, listen to his radio commentary. So it was great to get an interview from him there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I dialed in a club call. It cost my parents a fortune. 12, 11, 15. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. It's a telephone, yeah. Used to phone them, not text people. Mm,
showing your age, Julian. Typical form from him, the man himself. Well, we are looking at those fixtures coming up, and then we'll be doing a Bradford preview. Delighted to say, Tom from Bantams Banter. I hope he's not going to be too funny. Don't want him to outshine me or Orient on the weekend.
It's not difficult, is it?
Yeah, it's not difficult at all. He'll be joining us for that Bradford preview. Love Sport. You are listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast. Brendan Pitcher, Julian Fern and Rob Edwards. We were just hearing from Dave Victor there. It was absolutely
great
brilliant.
Great broadcast, isn't he?
Oh, he's unbelievable. So much to learn from him. So brilliant. I mean, he can reel off anecdote after anecdote, memory after memory. He's just got it in his locker. I think we had about 20 questions prepared and we got to question two. But it was just brilliant. And he is a great broadcaster, Julian. I'm not going to buy it at all, because when you get to hear a voice like that, a legend at the club at Leighton Orient, I can only wish to achieve 5% of what that man has achieved. But we aren't looking at the next run of fixtures.
We
know it's too late. It is busy over that Christmas period. It is a tough stretch, especially when Orient are on this run of form. Looking at those, and especially if we marry that up with Julian's 10 game measuring stick, and it's 6 to go, Brendan. How are you looking with those Christmas fixtures and Ross's reign?
Well, you're looking at them there on paper. We've got Bradford, obviously, and then Cambridge, Colchester, Newport, Walsall. You see, like, it kind of like you got the two difficult ones, I think, Colchester and Newport, within 3 days of each other. That's going to be a real test of our mettle, I think. And kind of, but it's a great thing that we've now got a fully fit squad to choose from. So hopefully, going into Christmas, now's the best time to have these run of fixtures where we can hopefully rotate a little bit. Nobody will be looking too leggy. And you've got to be hoping that we can maybe hopefully put a run together with a bit of stability under Ross, because I don't see a new manager coming in, but certainly before Christmas.
I think it's a bit of a roller coaster, isn't it, really? You look at those fixtures and who they are. One thing I noted, we've got quite a few games away on the road. We've got Cambridge, then we've got Newport, then Walsall away. So that's three pretty sort of decent, two decent slaps on one a little bit closer. So for me, I think it's Christmas is a funny time for any club. You can go in there and absolutely go through it and go, I can't believe we come at the end of that and with all those points. Or you come out the other end going, right, it's going to be a tough second half of the season. I think for us, I think we've got to see that progression, and I'm just looking forward to seeing some, as Dave said, seeing some better teams we're playing against, and we do raise our game. There's evidence that shows that, so we raise our game against a better side, footballing sides, and I'm quite looking forward to it. I think some good matches to be had over the Christmas and New Year period.
Some fans sort of look at that Christmas period and they go, this is the sort of the makeup of the team, this is the statement, how we cope this period, how we survive, how we get through it, because Julian's right, you know, if you don't get the results in these 2, 3, 4 games, then you go in January and go, right, now we really need some points now, you know, we're in this relegation fight, and it sort of makes or breaks your outlook for the rest of the year, the rest of the season, doesn't it, Rob?
It's always, Christmas is always judged as a turning point in a lot of club seasons. I think just the run of games in quick succession, I mean, there's 12 points to play for in the space of 10 days, and I think looking at our games, there's a couple of winnable games in there, but there's also a few tough ones. I'd be happy with 6 points, I think, out of that period. And looking back this season, I mean, there's good teams to play, but then we won at Mansfield when we probably shouldn't have, and then went away and lost away at Morecambe. So there's not really anything you can look at a fixture and say that's going to be a tough game, because you just don't know what Orient team's going to turn up.
Yeah, it's very true. You never know what the other team's going to turn up, because in this league, anyone beats anyone where you think you're going to get 3 points, you don't, and then someone you thought, well, this is a tough tie, then you come away with the points. It is going to be tricky. We will do a full Bradford preview with Tom from Bantams Banter in just a minute, but we always do on the show a little bit of Orient housekeeping. We check on the women's team. But first of all, some big news. Leighton Orient Supporters Club have donated £6,000 to repair an academy minibus to allow the young players to travel to away matches. Brendan, can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Basically the supporters club runs any profits they do get go straight to the club, and to do so the club gives them the option of what they want to spend that money on to show supporters what their money's going on, basically. So it's gone to good use, and this year they've decided to pay for repairs on a minibus, which for the academy players will be crucial for them getting to away games. And overall, it seems like a good thing for the club, definitely.
Yeah, spending their money wisely. They get to spend it how they want it, so they know their money is going to good use at the club, running on no profit, as Brendan mentioned. And Brendan, we have to ask, although it may be a bit of a sore subject.
We'll move on.
The Leyton Orient women's team, with so much expectation last week, and it's all ended in tatters.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Despite taking a lead in the 7th minute, Orient women fell to a 6-1 heavy defeat to Portsmouth in the second round of the FA Cup. To be fair, it's been a fantastic campaign. Getting to the second round is the furthest the club has ever got. So
better achievement than losing to Maldon and Tiptree, wasn't it?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. So
they're a great team in Essex, I keep telling you that.
And to play every game away, and we played 4 away games on the trot.
Absolutely.
So we weren't really exactly helped by the draw. But I don't think the performance merited a 6-1 defeat. But in the end, Portsmouth are a division above. They were very clinical with their chances. Perhaps on another day, they scored a lot of goals from outside the box. Perhaps some of those don't go in on another day. But hopefully we'll go again. We play Thursday against Phoenix Sports in the Ishmefion Cup, which we're looking to retain. Then on Sunday,
I'm glad you pronounced that.
Yeah. Then we got a crucial league game on Sunday against Cambridge, where we'll be looking to go, hopefully, back towards, I think we're about 4th at the minute, but we've got a couple of games in hand. Hopefully we'll go nearer to the top now.
Not to water down Portsmouth's achievement or to soften the blow, but the priority has always been, you've stated, and the team's priority has been the league. Now they can concentrate on this. You know, how is that going?
Oh, certainly, yeah. We haven't been so busy with cups recently. We're in so many different cups that we haven't played many league games. I think we played one in like the last 2 months. So getting back to that routine of playing Sunday to Sunday in the league without having to play Wednesday nights and stuff like that. When you're not a professional club, when your players have real jobs and you're struggling with tiredness, playing Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday is really going to take out of you. So ideally, you only really want to play once a week. So going out of the cup could be seen as a blessing in disguise, definitely.
I think also we sort of mentioned sort of the loanees. I think we've got a couple of lads out on loan. And I think they're doing really well. And I think what Dave Victor was saying earlier, and I think Rob was saying about having sort of homegrown talent in the side, and it's nice to see our talent out on loan doing really well, performing and sort of playing above the players they play with, i.e. they're going into semi-pro clubs where we've got some older players in there, and they're standing out as really good players. So that's nice to see. And I think it's something that Orient do really well. And I think the retaining of the youth system we've got, and by being back in the Football League, is going to help further players come through that and push for places in the first team over the next 2 or 3 years. And that's one thing I really love about Orient, and one of the biggest reasons. I know Dave was alluding about all the great things Justin did, but I think the biggest thing for the club was not just promotion, i.e. the beating promoted, but keeping our academy, keeping our status, and that. I mean, it means so much. I mean, so much for the future of Orient as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a tricky time, obviously, at the minute. But, you know, the next generation is so vitally important, Rob. How do they capitalise on this and keep pushing and keep bleeding those youngsters into this first-team squad?
I think, look at we're a club that's always given sort of youth team players a chance. We've had some great players come through, Moses Odebejo recently, now playing in the Championship, sold for a little bit of money before. We have obviously 4 playing in the first team on Saturday. Zakuani was another one that came through, went on to a big money move. We give players a chance, and not just in the 2 seasons ago when we got relegated from League Two and we had no other players to play other than the kids. That wasn't through choice, but I think when people come into the youth team at Orient, they know that they're probably going to get a chance in the first team and they're going to get looked after. And you can see the results by how many players have just gone on to much bigger clubs. I mean, Cromer played against Bond last night at Huddersfield, Charlton. Dalby's at Watford.
He's doing really well at Watford as well.
The rise of Stephen Alzate is just incredible. I mean, he scored against Newport, I think, three years ago for us. And now he's playing in the Columbia national team and a regular in the Premier League. So I think you see how many players just go up to bigger clubs, that it's a really good platform for a young player to come and play. And obviously from our point of view commercially, hopefully there's a few sell-on clauses in there as well that will bring in a few players that we need at this moment. But I think that we're very good at playing giving young players an opportunity and nurturing them through. And you look at the coaches, Danny Webb done an amazing job with, I think there's an interview with him in the Daily Mail or one of the sport papers about how close he was to Stephen Alzate and how he kind of got his head right, invested in him to become a better player. And now I think he said Steve Nelzate's dad still phones him to thank him for the effort that he's put through. So I think the system we've got in place, the coaches, and the fact that they know they're going to get a good crack.
I think sort of talk about the youth, but just one thing picking up on the sort of the Caroma Macaulay Bond. I read in the paper in the week Macaulay Bond's been sort of being chased by Newcastle again. So that was quite funny when before he signed his contract, renewed his contract with us. There was the talks of Leicester, Newcastle, and that's coming back out again. So again, I think it's probably that Macaulay Bond's Christmas present.
Do we believe that's true?
Oh no, I just think
he's got a good agent.
His agent's just to tout them about. He's doing a great job, don't get me wrong, but I couldn't see him going stepping up again to the Premiership and doing really well. I think he's at a really good club and really believes in him. Give him the opportunity now, and sort of Lyle Taylor was on the bench yesterday as well, so and didn't come on for Macaulay. When he came on, he didn't come on for Macaulay. So
he has been out for 14 weeks though.
No, we didn't come on for Macaulay, so that would be a natural change. The other frontline partnerships there, so that was really good. I really hope sort of Macaulay stays in there and continues to grow and develop, because I think he's gone to a really good club to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are looking at the Bradford game on the weekend. Bradford, they started so well, which Julian mentioned. They've had a little bit of a let's say regression since then, but Tom from the Bantams Banter, I'm sure he'll tell us differently next.
Love Sport.
They're listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, the knowledge Brendan Pitcher, the guest Julian Fern, and the true knowledge Rob Edwards. I'm sticking with it. Well, we've been talking a whole host of things. The game on the weekend with Oldham 1-1 there, it was a poor one. Rob said, let's move on. That's exactly what we did. Then we had Dave Victor, who is the voice of Leighton Orient for so many fans. Great to have his insight on the show. We've done our housekeeping, looked at all of the issues surrounding the football club at the minute. But now, though, we turn our attentions to the game on the weekend. And this is going to be a good one, because we're joined by Tom from Bantams Banter. Now, Tom, this is no laughing matter. I'm expecting a joke in seconds from you all about Bradford, but your form at the minute, well, it's no laughing matter, because it started so brightly in League Two, but it's kind of going downhill, isn't it?
Yeah, we're crap, mate.
It's touché. Funny.
Yeah,
like
yeah, touché, Tom. The Bantams Banter's kicking off. What is going wrong then?
Well, no, we're not that bad. I'm still exaggerating. But the fact is we don't seem to play into the correct sort of formation that we bought the players for. I still have a lot of faith in Gary Bowie, the manager, but we've signed two brilliant wingers who we seemingly don't seem to play, and they don't play to those sort of tactics. That's one sort of criticism, and that seems to kind of go wrong. But we do get the rubber of the green at home. You could argue it's a lucky 1-0 win at the weekend. We had loads of chances, and we got a penalty. James Vaughan put it away, 1-1-0, and that was right at the end of it. But other than that, there was nothing much to report on. It's a funny one, really. Thankfully, our home form's really good, but away we're pretty pants. So you're probably going to thrash us.
In my mind, like, Bradford are probably one of the bigger teams in League Two, and you came down last season. How much pressure is on the side and Gary Bowyer to try and get back up straight away?
Massively.
Will it be potential financial ramifications if you don't go up?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we're kind of all right at the moment financially. We had a terrible German owner a couple of years ago, and since then he sold his share out, and the other German owner we've got put a bit of money on. So financially we're all right, but the pressure is massive. You know, it's Division 4 football, and yeah, you could argue you're whatever league you're in, that's what level you should be at. And, you know, in terms of our football, and yeah, you probably could argue we are a League Two team. But the fan base is quite big. You know, we've got lots of history. We've got a really sort of impressive stadium. And we should really be a League One, or a Championship at least. Or Championship. That's what we're pushing for. So, yeah, there's loads of pressure for Gary Bowie to get out of the league. Like, massive. And if he doesn't do it, he'll have failed. That's it. That's the bottom line.
I think for me, just a couple of things just to run past you. So you've had two ex-Orient midfielders sort of play for you over the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah, I was Josh Wright getting on. Yeah, he was pants for us, mate. He was absolutely terrible.
I'd just like to say Josh is in the studio with us tonight. Josh, what do you think now?
Me and his dad have already had an argument on Twitter once upon a
time. I'm glad we got you on the show. So we've had Josh and you've had Romain as well. So
I love Romain. So,
common theme here. So I think we did our Orient team of the decade, and he was definitely in that midfield for us. I think he gave us a lot. So I'm just going to ask, really, what sort of reception is Josh going to get on Saturday?
Yeah, you know what? In a way, I feel sorry for me. He came in when we had this terrible owner. in a really bad one of the German owners who's since left. He was horrible. He was like treat everyone like absolute crap. He tried to micromanage everybody, including the football players. And he came at this time, so it was really difficult for Josh. And to be fair, in the friendlies I saw him playing when he first signed, I thought he was brilliant. I thought he was a really good player. But he got labelled with a bit of a lazy card, and then also he had big boots to fill. We had midfielders before him who would run up and down that pitch and put the heart on the sleeve, the bleed claret and amber, and then he had to fill those boots. So we were already starting off in a negative sort of way. I do feel for him. And eventually, he didn't get enough games to turn it around for himself. Then there was one particular video clip where we were playing, and he would just, there were video tracking back from an attack, and he would just jogging past and let the player run past him and score. And that kind of video clip sort of, unfortunately, cemented him as like, oh, he's definitely a lazy player, get him out of the club. And you know what, he got unjustified hate a lot of the times, and his dad tried to stick up from online, but he signed at the wrong time, he really did. And there were a lot, it wasn't just him, there were a load of players that got a lot of hate, especially on Twitter and stuff, which isn't really fair. And we ended up not really arguing with his dad, but we put something about him saying and performance ain't good enough, and his dad obviously really proud of both his sons, and he was sticking up for him, which is any dad would do, really. I do feel for him a bit, but I think he's doing all right for you, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got a few goals, mostly penalties.
I saw one of his goals, I was like, how could he do that for us? He never even looked like he'd even remotely score a goal like that. It's weird. Yeah. Maybe it's just he likes it down south, maybe that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, maybe that's it, closer to home.
Too much gravy.
Over the summer, a couple of transfers that really caught my eye were Clayton Donaldson and James Vaughan. How have they been getting on for you?
Yeah, they've been doing well. I mean, James Vaughan's an unbelievably experienced player. Like, if you want anyone to time waste a game, just sign James Vaughan. Like, you've got 5 minutes to run down, he will just do it single handedly. But that's experience, and he won us the penalty on Saturday, which got us the victory. And he, again, a lot of players had tried shooting. He took it around the keeper, he knew we were going to go down. And that's exactly what he did. And Donaldson's done really well as well. It's experience. Unfortunately, he's had an injury recently, so he hasn't played for. I don't think he won't play against you guys, and he hasn't played for the last month or two. Apparently, he hurt his big toe. And the news in the local paper today was front page news almost. Clayton Donaldson's toe is on the mend. It now feels as good as all his other toes. I'm like, that's not
great journalism, there, like, isn't it?
I know. Well, this is the brass of local paper we're talking about now.
Tom, what is your score prediction for the weekend then?
I say you're going to thrash us, but I mean, I know you're 20th in the league or something, you're not doing great at the moment, but luckily for you guys, our waveform's not great either. I'm probably going to go for another draw. I think what's going to take us over the line this year is just our home form and nicking sort of away draws now and again and a few wins. So, boring, yeah, but I'd like to go for a draw. And I'm this season especially, I'm a realist. I used to be a real positive about City fans saying, oh, we're going to beat you, we're going to beat you. But this season especially, I'm just trying to keep it real, so to speak.
Go for a draw. Well, Tom, you're sitting on the fence there, but we really appreciate you coming on and giving us a little bit of time tonight. Thank you, Tom. Tom from Bantams Banter Day was providing us a little bit. I think gave Wendy a good run for his money,
yeah,
actually.
Definitely. I think he's,
in the opposition view standings, I think Tom's up there, but he is going for a draw. I turn my attentions, as I always do, to you three in the studio. Brendan, I will start with you. Where is this game going to be won and lost?
It's going to be a tough one, but like Dave said when we spoke to him, Orient seems to raise their game against big teams and big crowd at the Birkenhead Stadium. Kind of feel we're due something.
Again,
we're
thank you for pronouncing that. I was going to call it Valley Parade to get out of it.
But yeah, we're due a big performance, I think. We haven't really had one since maybe the Mansfield game. And hopefully Ross can put that in this for Saturday.
And what's your score prediction?
I'm gonna, with that in mind, I'm gonna be really positive and go for a 2-1 Orient win.
Oh, go on, Brendan. Julian is stunned at that prediction. Why so, Julian?
So you've been drinking. for me, I think literally Saturday's got written all over it. 1-0, Josh Wright. Gotta be, because he will love it as well, won't he? You know, nicking the winner. And going there and nicking it off us. So looking forward to it.
1-0, Julian. Rob, it falls to you to give the final prediction. We've had 2 from 2 wins. Rob, please don't go the other way.
3-2. 3-2 O's. I think there'll be a few goals.
Rob,
I think it's we can't seem to defend, and we seem to like getting the odd one. So, yeah, 3-2.
Well, he sang 3-2. Three goals for Orient and three wins at three predictions here in the studio. I can't wait to next Wednesday where we can talk about the brilliant 3 points also. This has been the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with Brendan Pitcher, Julian Fern and Rob Edwards. We will see you at the same time as we do every Wednesday, 8 to 9, next week.
Love Sport. Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.